All right, welcome to Season 2, Episode 35, which is Episode 67 of the Retro Game Club podcast. I am Rob, and with me is someone who is also poorly ported to MS-DOS, Hugh.
Correct, yes, very badly. Keyboard controls only.
Yep, not a lot of sprites. So what's going on? I mean...
what's been going on? Yeah, it's been a pretty dead week. I don't think there's been anything noteworthy this past week at all. So we had an email last week, I think from Ross, about a game called PT on PlayStation 4 that if you didn't download it, you could never download it again. Mm-hmm. I think it was a demo, not a full game, and how there was some way to make it work on PS5. But there was an article I saw this week on Polygon, and we can include it in the notes or not, about how the developer removed PS4 backwards compatibility from it. So I guess the way it works is maybe it's technically still playable, but if the developer flags the game as being not backwards compatible, then the PlayStation 5 just won't even run it. Which is really weird.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new world, man. That's it just wouldn't be that way. I mean, like if back in the day you had your power-based converter for the Genesis, do you have a power-based converter?
No, but I know what it is.
Okay. I think I have two of them.
I got an EverDrive instead. And,
right. And, you know, imagine like you put a Master System game in and the screen says, oh, the publisher has decided this can't be backwards compatible. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, doesn't make sense. It's a cartridge. It was made before the backwards compatibility thing. But now the developer can go and like retroactively say this thing isn't a game anymore.
Yeah, they're also taking VR out of games that have VR as an option if you try to play them on the PS5.
So the PS5 does not have VR?
No.
That was a PS4 only thing?
Yeah, they're not, at least yet, they said they're just not dealing with it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I knew about the thing where, like, if you don't have a Facebook account, you can't use some VR device.
Yeah, the Oculus. Yeah. So I will never be getting one of those.
I have no intention of ever getting a VR device. Just not my thing.
You don't like just a nauseous machine?
No, I don't like stuff being that close to my face. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that, like, the screen is, like, 1 inch off my eyes, I'm not a big fan of that.
I just love that meme of like, you know, in the 80s, our moms told us to get away from the TV because it'll hurt our eyes. And now we're putting TVs onto our faces.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's all I got going on. How about you?
Not much other than literally I've been playing our current Game Club games. And then the game I picked for next week, I already started playing. And other than that... a lot of the analog Mega SG and tinkering around with the Mega SD from Terra Onion. And I just learned today that I can, there's a different firmware that jailbreaks the Mega SG where you can play your ROMs without needing a EverDrive or something like that. So that's what I'm going to be doing after this this recording.
Hmm.
Breaking my Mega SG, yeah. Hopefully not breaking it. Yeah, it has been a while since we recorded. I'm trying to think. It was probably even before before Halloween. So
let's think about it. It had to be, yeah. Yeah, so Halloween was actually pretty good. I know everyone's very excited about our non-retro gaming discussions here, but Halloween was pretty busy. I mean, most of my neighborhood was pretty... good about coming up with some way where the kids don't come to your door. So same. Both me and the people across the street just had the you know, put tables out in the middle of the driveway and bags of, you know, little gift bags of candy. Mm-hmm. And that went pretty well. We actually had pretty good turnout, and my youngest kid did go out. I mean, she's kind of getting a little old for costumes, but she did do the toilet paper hoarder costume. We basically strapped a bunch of rolls of toilet paper to her back. And apparently she said most adults got the costume and most kids did not.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. My kids went out, kept it very retro. My son was Sonic. My daughter was Pikachu. And, our neighborhood always does it up big for Halloween. And, they did a great job this year. And, Yeah, a lot of social distancing. I did feel a bit weird because we were outside and staying away from people. My wife and I did not wear masks.
Okay.
But after we got out there, most other parents were. So I felt kind of weird about that, kind of like we were doing it wrong. But still, we were always far away from people. And
I had an insane amount of leaves to rake. So it was nice out on Halloween. So I just went out in like a sweatshirt. And I had a, I guess it's like a, I don't know why I have these, but they're like neck gaiters for like if you go to Burning Man. You know, like they're dusty, like you're supposed to like wear them if you're in a climate where it's dusty, even though I will never go to Burning Man in my entire life, but they're kind of like rave themed. And the nice thing about those is you can go and you can rake leaves and pull them down. And then when people come up, you can pull it up real quickly. Because, so what was the popular costume in your neighborhood? Most popular costume?
There were a bunch of kids dressed up as like those inflatable, dinosaurs.
Okay.
And other than that, all the little kids were like superheroes. There was other.
Yeah, we had a lot of Batman. A lot of Batman in our neighborhood.
That's kind of, well, yeah, I guess that's not too weird. It's not like a new movie or anything came out recently, though.
Yeah, it is weird because there's no new Batman movies, and I think they're all R-rated now.
Exactly, yeah.
But that was the, maybe that's just what the parents had in the house. I don't know. A lot of Batman, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we
all right.
Ready to do some news?
Talk about some modern gaming, slower than Apple II news?
Yeah, so this is on PCGamer.com, and the latency problem, why modern gaming PCs are slower than Apple II. And there's a lot of reasons. This is a very long article. What it really comes down to is like the Apple II keyboard pretty much connects, you know, directly to hardware. And I guess that would be an interrupt. And modern PCs, you not only have antivirus and stuff running, but you also, in a few other layers, but it's USB, so it gets translated through that. There's how long it takes, how often it's pulling. And there's also something called debouncing, where I guess it's trying not to register a double click or an accidental click. So it waits 5 to 20 milliseconds before it registers. So yeah, there is a bunch of reasons why your modern PC may be a bit more laggy than an Apple II.
Yeah, I don't know. Like modern PC developers, like PC game developers, have it much harder in some ways because you don't have fixed specs. Whereas like Apple II, it's like this is the exact hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to worry about different video card brands. You didn't have to worry about drivers. You don't have to worry about patch versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You barely had to support more than one kind of joystick, right? If you supported a joystick at all.
Yeah.
So just way easier, I think. Not way easier. I mean, it was harder. Like it was harder. You had to do way more optimization, obviously. Like, I think in the Apple II days, you worried a lot about optimization. And I think developers today worry a lot less about it because the machines are so much bigger.
And that's what I was going to say. You also have Unity, where you're almost not even programming.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's kind of funny the rabbit hole this guy went down. Next, on Engadget.com, we have Modder's DIY project makes the SNES Super Scope work on your flat TV.
Yeah. It involves putting a Raspberry Pi in the Super Scope.
And a video signal splitter.
Yeah.
And an Arduino. So
I mean it's great. I mean, it fits into the realm of projects that are completely useless but also completely awesome.
Yeah.
I say useless because the Super Scope doesn't have a, I don't know, do you like any Super Scope games? Are there any that you really, really want?
No. Aren't there only like two or three? I don't think
no I think
many.
There's like a dozen.
Okay.
I just hold on. Super Scope games. Not Super Score games, Google. Okay. You can edit this part, sorry. So we sound like we're There are some games that are super scope that you wouldn't expect. So let's see. Battle Clash. I think that was like a launch game for it. Okay. The Hunt for Red October. Here's one that I remember that I'm sure will shock you. Lamborghini American Challenge.
Nope. Why would that even have a super scope?
That's a great question. Lemmings 2, Metal Combat, Operation Thunderbolt, T2 the arcade game, which I would say, I would argue, the only thing on here that's worth going through this much effort over.
Mm-hmm.
X-Zone, Yoshi Safari.
That,
oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, Lamborghini American Challenge had like some extra or bonus mode where you could also use like the mouse. I think it worked with the mouse or the light gun.
Okay.
But yeah. Hey, so, awesome project. I like it though.
Yeah.
But yeah, but, I mean the Genesis, because on Genesis you at least had all the Lethal Enforcers games.
I don't even remember the Genesis light gun. I remember
it wasn't, well, Sega didn't make a light gun. It was through third parties,
okay.
And it was like a big orange or blue revolver.
Okay.
So a little bit bigger than the original NES Zapper.
Mm-hmm.
And it came in a huge box, and it was, you know, Konami originally trying to get you to buy Lethal Enforcers, and then other games supported that gun.
So I like
the shooting games on Sega CD, like Corpse Killer, that kind of stuff.
I have a black Zapper-looking thing that I think is Sega. Did the Master System have a light gun?
It did, yeah.
Okay,
the Master System had a light gun. Okay. Yeah. So on a related note, I did, because I'm a moron, I did buy Corpse Killer from Limited Run Games this week. I believe I bought the Switch version.
Nice.
I don't know why. Like, it's not, I mean, it's kind of cheesy. I like FMV games. I guess that's, mm-hmm. I guess that's all it is. I like cheesy FMV games. So I did buy that in the past week. I don't know when it'll be here.
Yeah,
Limited Run Games, they're a great company, except they're kind of bad about letting you know when your games are going to arrive.
Yeah, usually so, I'll get the email and then the next day my game will arrive.
Yeah, yeah. On there, they send out like a customer feedback survey every year, and that's the only issue I ever bring up. It's like, just give us a ballpark when it's going to arrive. All right. Arcade Dreams documentary.
Yeah. This is a weird link because it links mm-hmm. to the people who made the trailer, and they're kind of boasting about their company a little bit, which is totally fine. It's a cool trailer. I don't know if they just made the trailer or the actual video movie, but yeah. Did you get a chance to watch this? Well, Kickstarter preview?
No, I did not. No, everybody can drink now. No, I did not.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, that history of arcade book. It's kind of that approach to it. It's 100-year history of arcade games.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm looking at the list. They have some really good interviews lined up on their mm-hmm. on their page. Someone I might talk about today, Brian Collin, is on the list of people they're going to talk to.
How many? 26 days left to go. There are $32,000 into a $95,000 goal. This seems like a project definitely worth backing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Kickstarter. It's not Indiegogo, which is good. Hmm?
Yeah, so they're only like a third of their way to their goal, though. That's troubling. They are looking for $95,000 and they have $32,000.
Yeah, that is a bit surprising, but they got about a month to go.
Yeah, yeah. Might as well throw a few bucks at them. I will leave that tab open so I don't forget. Retro Shop announces a ZX Spectrum Next clone board, or ZX, I suppose, is the correct way to pronounce that system. So, if you want to get a ZX Spectrum, and I just mispronounced it again, next clone board. So this was a thing where there was a Kickstarter for this hardware for like the whole system. But if you just, for whatever reason, want to build your own case and you just want the board, you will soon be able to buy the board by itself for 115 euros plus taxes and shipping, all that stuff, and it will be sold through ultimatemister.com.
So is this the same people that created the ZX Spectrum Next? Because the word clone is throwing me off.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Like, are they ripping off? I would imagine it's the same people who designed the original.
Well, no, because the ZX Spectrum Next is a clone of the ZX. You know what I'm saying? Like, it depends.
No, it's not a clone.
Is the clone?
No, it's what would come next. So it's totally upgraded.
Oh, so then this must be a clone of that.
Isn't that strange?
if some of our listeners know
what's going on, please let us know.
I don't think that's strange at all.
This article does not make it clear. Let's just say that it's not our fault.
Yeah, maybe it is. sticking with the ZX Spectrum. I like this article here. How to emulate it on the Raspberry Pi. I talked before about like maybe my winter project. I probably won't follow through on it, but my winter project, I was thinking of doing a like Raspberry Pi that just emulates one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would take the Spectre. I don't think I would go with that, but this is a good tutorial if you're interested in doing it. Oh, by the way, did you see that new Raspberry Pi keyboard, or did I put that in the show notes?
It's in the show notes. It's
okay. We'll get to it later because this reminds me of it a lot.
It's the next article, so let's just talk about it.
Okay. So kind of corollary to this, they announced this new Raspberry Pi it's $70, and it's a keyboard with a Raspberry Pi built in. You actually can't buy it yet. I attempted to buy one. Mm-hmm. And you can only buy them right now if you're ordering them like for a school and you want to order like 100 of them.
Okay.
Which this makes perfect sense for a school. And once kids can go back to school, this is a really sensible thing to put in classrooms because it's so much cheaper than, you know, building a full desktop computer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's exactly the thing. It's a keyboard with a Raspberry Pi built in and a bunch of ports to connect, you know, to monitors, USB. If you want to connect a mouse, all there. It is so nice looking too.
The GPIO is exposed in the perfect way.
Right. So if you want to connect other peripheral. But I think this goes along well with the ZX Spectrum article because like if you wanted to build a dedicated like emulation machine, like I was thinking of doing either just dedicated DOS box or dedicated Apple II, mm-hmm. this is the exact kind of enclosure I wanted for it.
This is what you would have built. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like if I was going to do like an Apple II one, because I don't need a mouse. Like it would be a keyboard only setup. Mm-hmm. So I think this is so cool. I as soon as you can just buy one of these on Amazon, I'm going to buy a minimum of one.
And this is it's Raspberry Pi 4 hardware, except it's a little bit it's not even overclocked. It's just a little bit faster. So Raspberry Pi 4 is 1.5 gigahertz, and this is 1.8. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a little more out of it, and I mean, this might be able to do Nintendo 64 pretty well. Again, you don't need a keyboard with Nintendo 64.
But... Yeah, you got to think of things that need a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. This will emulate any DOS program.
Oh yeah, yeah, and if your kids are, you know, again, this would have been really awesome in March, you know, if this was widely available, because, you know, a lot of kids suddenly have to do school remotely, and you could connect this right to your TV if you didn't have a spare monitor.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Oh. Too bad this didn't come out 6 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is the most, this of all the new products we've talked about this year, this is like the thing I'm most excited for.
Now, the reason I'm not getting one is because I have three Raspberry Pis, two threes and a four, and I've only done one thing with one of them. So I have to wait for I have to wait to have time for a real project.
Well, one of mine, so I have one spare Pi right now. I have one Raspberry Pi that I was using for RetroPie. Now, like I said, I turned it into Pi Hole, and honestly, quality of life with Pi Hole is better than it was with RetroPie.
Yeah.
But then when I went, you know, I've been in the office for a long time, but I built this production monitoring board using a Raspberry Pi. Like I had a spare, is it a two? Might only be a two. Mm-hmm. And I just used it to build like this real-time production statistic monitoring dashboard thing. for this big, like a big empty wall, and I put a big monitor up there. And this actually isn't part of my job. I just was really frustrated one day at the lack of like visibility into production, like performance stats. But since I'm not going to be going back to the office forever, I might end up reclaiming that pie and converting it to something else. I guess I could set up my production monitoring board in my house, but the goal was other people would look at it and say, hey, that page is really slow. Maybe I should go fix it.
Yeah.
Or, hey, look, this thing that I support is down. I guess I should go look at that.
Yeah, there's your monitor in.
All right. Sorry to get way off topic here. This is Mega Man on DOS. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. So Mega Man on DOS. So if you do build your DOS box Raspberry Pi, then you could play this on it. So This is a story, mostly an interview of the guy who coded Mega Man for DOS. And there are two Mega Man for DOS. There's one and three. None of them have anything to do with the ones on Nintendo. It's a really great article. It just talks about how he got into, you know, game programming and got into the business and how it all just worked out, how Mega Man was his best game. Now, Mega Man for DOS is, let's say it's not reviewed well. This guy has done a lot of other ports, like Street Fighter 2 for DOS.
Okay, and that's a pretty decent port. I have that.
Is it for DOS or... It might even be for something else that's not as good, but...
I have Super Street Fighter 2. Is that the same thing? I have this, Super Street Fighter 2.
No, it's for different. DOS. Definitely different. It's where the character... It looks more like ER Kung Fu.
Okay. Oh, is that Fighting Street then? Is it for Street Fighter 1? If it looks like YR Kung Fu, that's Street Fighter 1.
It's not because it's Street Fighter 1, but it might still be... yeah, you're right. It is Street Fighter 1, yeah. But anyway, you know, this guy did not a bad job. You know, it looks like good coding. It looks like good gameplay. It's just... It has weird stuff like rats running around. You know, not very... Mega Man type things, and really the gameplay is a bit different too, the level design, but it's just a really good historical article, and he seems like a good guy. I don't mean any hate, but he also did code my least favorite TurboGrafx-16 game, Darkwing Duck. I think it's one of the worst games on the system.
Really? I don't know. Oh, boy. Like, the TurboGrafx-16 doesn't have a lot of really terrible games. But most of the sports games are pretty bad.
I like the TV sports series. The boxing games are not good. Kickboxer's not good.
Kickboxer not great. It does have, you play the CD version?
I forget. It's been so long. Okay. It's been decades.
Yeah, like, to me, China Warrior is maybe one of the worst games on the system.
Not great. Yeah.
But it's like, the TurboGrafx doesn't have, like, the same... Like, if you're talking about, like, floor and ceiling, like, the floor on the TurboGrafx-16 is still higher than, like, the floor on the Jaguar or 3DO.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think the TurboGrafx-16 has an abundance of mediocre games.
And yeah.
A lot of great games, too. Not a lot of horrible games.
Yeah. There's not a lot of, like... I'm having a hard time thinking of angry video game nerd episodes about TurboGrafx games. Darkwing Duck might have been on one.
It's really bad. JJ and Jeff is really bad.
Oh, JJ and Jeff is hilarious, though. I think... Like, the controls are absolutely abysmal. Like the jump, like you die constantly just from missing really easy jumps. Yeah. Right. I get it. But that game is so funny. You know that America's Funniest Home Videos is based on that.
What?
Yeah. Oh. The characters from JJ and Jeff were in Japan were called Kato and Ken Chan. Right. And they did a show that, when it was brought to America, was renamed America's Funniest Home Videos. You can Google that. It sounds like a thing I'm making up. But America's Funniest Home Videos is a U.S. port of the show that JJ and Jeff is based on.
Oh, I understand. Okay, yeah, that is still really strange. Really, really strange.
All right, Retro Games Limited announces a C64 and VIC-20 game development competition. This is the Winter 2020 game development competition. The game has to be original work, and everybody working on it has to be credited. They've got a lot of rules about that, so you're not basically stealing someone else's game. And then they have a panel of judges. Games must not require keyboard inputs that are mapped to the C64 joystick. So basically, it's got to work on original hardware, not just the clone hardware. Okay. And lots of stuff about not gratuitous violent or adult content. And interesting thing is, this is the same company that's behind the C64 clone computer. There's an interesting little clause in here that you agree that your submission could be included on a future update of the C64.
Huh.
So it's a coding competition, but by entering it, you are giving them rights to give away your game for free.
That they kind of profit on. Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. I honestly don't think depending on your perspective, that's a good or bad thing. Like, if you were planning to give away a game for free anyways, and these guys include it on their system, I don't really see why you care.
Totally, yeah. But it is one step away from me saying, like, I just started a video game publishing company and I started this video game contest.
Yeah.
You may just be giving me the rights to your video game.
Right. It's, but again, you're an adult, presumably, if you're doing Commodore 64 coding. So you can make a decision whether you think that is a good trade-off or not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you probably wouldn't make much money off a C64 game right now anyway.
No, but maybe you want to make up, you know, a couple $100 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The Intellivision is 41, apparently.
Yeah. So the Intellivision, turned 41. And there are two events celebrating the birthday. Is the Intellivision Virtual Expo, which is a 7-hour series of sessions and discussions. It will be November 21st. You might be off work around then anyways. Oh, it's a Saturday. Of course you're not at work.
Nice.
So go ahead and sign up for that. And another website is doing like a Let's Play Intellivision event where you sign up to play a game, and I don't know if you're supposed to review it or not. But cool. It's a site I didn't know before. intvprime.com. Very cool, kind of old school looking site.
I don't see that link here.
They have some link they want you to click first.
Oh, okay.
Some, I don't know, SEO thing. I don't know. Not a fan of that.
Cool.
Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle. What? Okay. I think you added this one.
Yes, and I put a note next to it that I just thought it'd be funny if we talked about the Stadia.
Okay. Mega what Man, is that again?
Google streaming service.
Okay.
That no one uses, not even me.
And you own one.
And I own it. Okay. Pac-Man Good. Mega Tunnel Battle brings Battle Royale to the arcade classic exclusively on Stadia, which means no one is going to play it. But
on PS4 in 3 months.
Yeah. It's like, Tetris 99 or something. It actually looks pretty good. So, yeah. And it looks like you could play alone if you want to, but...
All right.
Yeah, looks like they did a fine job programming this thing. It's fun.
Arcade 1-Up is making a Outrun cabinet.
I think it looks nice.
Yeah. And their other stuff is all very small. I guess if this is a sit-down cabinet, maybe the height doesn't matter as much. I guess I'd have to see it in person to see how comfortable it is. But it has several Outrun games, right? It has, hold on. I had the list up, and then I closed it because I'm an idiot.
Outrun, Turbo Outrun, Outrunners, and Power Drift.
Okay. See, I would like to get, like, Virtual Racing on there because it seems to be all Sega-branded. Mm. But Outrun's pretty great. So.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, you have your brake and your gas pedal, your shifter and your steering wheel. All looks like really, really high quality controls. Looks like they spent a lot of time with this thing. And I think the $500 is warranted for this, for those parts alone. I mean, they had to create and manufacture these parts just for this. So makes sense to me, you know?
Yeah. Oh, if they could get, like, Pole Position and Spy Hunter in a sit-down cabinet, that would be good, too.
I forget, do they have Spy Hunter, or was that just a rumor?
They have Spy Hunter, but it's not I thought they had Spy Hunter on one, yeah. Hmm. It's hard to keep up with all the things they have.
They're coming out with them so fast.
So here's a really cool homebrew project here. Space Ava 201. It is the first PC Engine CD game with super graphics support and arcade card. So this is like the most souped up you can get out of a TurboGrafx game. So the Super Graphics, you know, was a kind of souped up version of the TurboGrafx. It was fully backwards compatible, so you could run all the PC Engine games on it. You could connect a PC Engine CD to it, but there weren't any games that used the additional hardware of the Super Graphics, right?
Yeah.
There were only like five chip games that even took advantage of it. And then arcade card gives you more capabilities. So this is like the most powerful thing you could make.
Yeah, yeah. And they said this will work in emulators and on a Mister 2, which is cool.
Well, that's almost certainly what they developed it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just crazy. I really want to play this game. This looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's sort of like the equivalent of doing a Sega CD 32X game. Like, the 32X is way more powerful than the Super Graphics, of course, but, like, that's the limit of what you can do with that system.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And between that, you have, like, two Motorola 68000 processors to work with, plus the Z80 and whatever. I can't remember the name of the chip in the 32X, but there's a lot you could do there.
And it looks like it also downgrades itself to regular PC Engine CD if you don't have either.
All right, nice.
Yeah, cool.
Sega leaves the arcade business, selling most of its shares off to someone called Genda. So Sega, at a time when I assume arcades are not doing well even in Japan, they are getting out of the business, although the company will continue to call themselves Sega.
Yeah, seems kind of like the Atari split. And they'll still own, you know, a few percent there. So,
yeah, it could lead to a confusing situation like the Atari stuff.
Yeah, but still, like I said, they still own a little bit of it. And also, who knows, maybe Genda will start producing some cool stuff in arcades when hopefully those open again soon.
Yeah, I think they're selling the arcade. Like, I don't think Genda's going to make games. They want to run arcades, right? So I think this is like them selling the equivalent of Aladdin's Castle to another business, right?
Okay.
I don't think Genda's getting any game IP. I think this is purely, you're going to run the arcade business now.
Yep, they're comparing it to like GameWorks began as an extension of DreamWorks. I don't know if that helps.
I understand it. I understand it, what's going on here. I've never played Jet Set Radio, but we got a link here to Jet Set Radio is in 60.
No, Sega is, and this is just like a little retrospective video. It's not really news, but I love the game, so I just included it in the show notes here for any other Jet Set Radio fans out there. I really hope they just re-release this with updated controls using dual analog stick or something. That'll make it I tried to play it again recently, and it did not age well, specifically because of the controls. Dumping a Nintendo 64 development cartridge safely on Hackaday.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was possible to damage a cart in the process of dumping it.
Yeah, neither did I. But they, you know, they said you could just do it with a V64, which pretty much just would copy it to a CDR. But you can also get, what is it? It's the UltraSave plus an EverDrive type device. I forget what it's called here.
But this is about unreleased Toric 3 prototype.
Yeah, that they wanted to dump without erasing.
Yeah, without accidentally erasing the cartridge.
And they successfully did it. But
that's true. So it's a prototype game. It's probably an EEPROM, right? So I guess there is a way you could... Right, like to me, I can't think of how you would accidentally erase a Nintendo 64 cartridge, maybe with a really powerful magnet. I have no idea.
Or maybe like voltage in the wrong port or something.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty hard to fry a Nintendo 64 cartridge. I mean, but if it's an EEPROM, okay, yeah, then sure, you could accidentally erase the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they're saying use the UltraSave Plus, which is like a... It looks like a PC board with two slots for a Nintendo 64 cartridge. And then you plug in your cart that you want to copy in one of the slots, and then the 64 drive, which looks like an EverDrive, in the other slot. And that 64 drive plugs USB to your computer, and that it pretty much routes it through that and just dumps directly to your computer. So that is the safest way, apparently. So there you go. Hacking.
There you go. Sticking with Nintendo 64, we got two more articles left. InTech Gaming makes dubious claims with the Warrior 64. So this is RetroRGB.com, who, of course, are extremely technical. And they're talking about a Kickstarter for this thing called the Warrior 64, which is, I actually read about that this week, which is a method or system to upscale Nintendo 64 games to work, to look good on HDMI. They sell like a complete system and then a conversion kit where you can convert your Nintendo 64 to use their upscaler thingy. But they basically have kind of done a breakdown on it, and they found a number of issues with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember the whole thing. Some of it is about the quality of it. Other things are just about the shadiness of how, like, they boot a Mario 64 cartridge and it doesn't go to the title screen. It goes to the save menu instead.
Yeah.
The controller that they claim they wrote, that they made themselves, appears to just be a knockoff of another controller. I looked at it too, and I found the things that struck me is, like, in the Kickstarter, they make mention of being a U.S. company many times, but their English is absolutely terrible. And then there's a link to their homepage. When you go to their homepage, Google prompts you if you want to translate this page from Chinese to English.
Huh.
So I'm not really sure about their claims of being an American company. Like, here's the deal. I don't really care where your company's located. Like, it doesn't make much difference to me. But clearly you're claiming to be an American company because you think that will help you sell your product, but you're clearly not an American company.
Yeah, so just be truthful.
Right. So when you start off just lying, your other claims are going to, they're going to be very suspicious to me. I'll say that.
Yeah. Not a good start. And let's check in on their Kickstarter here.
I think it's doing extremely well.
Yeah, they are doing really well.
Yeah, I looked at the Kickstarter. I was like, ugh, there are a whole lot of people about to get ripped off.
Yes.
And the Kickstarter is in Hong Kong currency also. There you go.
There you go.
But hey, it's a U.S. company founded in the U.S. Yeah. by U.S. people who just love the Nintendo 64 so much. but they're already past their goal. I have a feeling you're not going to get a product from them.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll be on our news, not in a good way, in the near future. But that was on, again, RetroRGB, and we have another RetroRGB article here. I hope we send them traffic. I really do. You know, listeners, please click on the show notes and go to their site. It is one of the best sites on the net. Castlevania Symphony of the Night English patch released for the Sega Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't realize that Symphony of the Night wasn't released in America on the Saturn.
I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. Most of the really great Saturn games did not come to America.
And there was also a recent patch that lets it use the 4-meg RAM cart also. That's pretty cool. I did hear that, I mean, even though the Saturn is supposed to be like a 2D beast, that the PlayStation version is still better. I haven't played the Saturn version, so I don't know.
Yeah. I have not either. Or maybe I did at Midwest Gaming Classic. It's possible, but I don't think I have.
That is news.
Yeah, there's a lot of news, man.
I know, and we held back almost that many articles. I often hold back some throwaway articles just in case we have a slow news week, which we never seem to. So there you go. I guess we have a game club.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Sure, yeah. I wanted a reason to play a great game on the Mega SG, so I picked Gunstar Heroes. It's a game I have played, but not too much, and it's one of those games that I actually forgot about for many years. And, oh, what a game. It's not the greatest game in the world. I'm not going to, you know, even say it's the best game on the Genesis, but wow, does it... It sounds great. The way it plays is just... Well, let me go into what the game is first. Mm-hmm. It's a run and gun. You get to choose your character. You get to choose the type of shooting style you do. So you can either run and shoot at the same time, or when you shoot, you kind of stop, but you can aim better in eight directions. Mm-hmm. I chose the latter because it's kind of easier to hit the bigger bosses, you know, in the head or wherever their targets are. Sometimes you just have to jump around if you pick the other way. So you're really picking between easier levels or easier bosses between the modes. Mm-hmm. You have four different gun styles that you can pretty much choose between. It'll drop the different styles, which you can pick up if you want, but then you could choose between them. And I usually stick with the fire anyway, but... Yeah, this goes from side-scrolling to giant bosses, to sliding down a pyramid, and to mine carts that are going really fast, and kind of you could jump up to the ceiling, kind of like a magnetic or gravitation effect, sliding down the side of a wall and jumping back and forth with obstacles and villains and stuff like that. This game, it just looks so beautiful. It plays so great. The sound is great. I think it really pushes that blast processing. I'm trying to find the right way to word this. What really impresses me about this game is how, yeah, it's a run-and-gun shooter, kind of like Metal Slug, but better, much better, mm-hmm. I would say. With a bit better graphics, even though, you know, the Neo Geo should have better graphics. I guess that's debatable about whether it has better graphics, but I my opinion is I like this better. And when you attack people in a certain way, your sprite will do different things. So instead of shooting, if someone's close mm-hmm. to you, you might throw them against the ground. You have a slide attack also. You might kind of punch them. Which I've really only seen once. It's really mostly been, you know, you're doing your slide attack, you're shooting, or you're throwing them. And it's all the same button. It's not like a special move, other than the slide attack, obviously. I mean, I give this game an A+. I give this game a, if you could own it, you should. I don't know the prices on this game. Apparently there's a Game Gear and a 3DS port. I'm assuming the 3DS port is great because it's part of the Sega 3D series. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, it's on multiple Genesis collections too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a pretty easy game to get. You don't need to go hunt down like a standalone copy. I mean, I think it's a technically very impressive game. I mean, like the boss fights in particular, you get these crazy pre-rendered bosses that, I mean, I don't know how you pull off the way the boss animation works in this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a style of game I play a whole lot. You know, I kind of very rarely play these run and gun games. I was never big on, to me, this is just like faster Contra.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's an unfair it's analogy. Contra. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think it's a very technically good game. I played it this past week, got through the second stage, and the style of game, that's about as far as I play usually. I've never played it all the way to the end.
You want to start on, which is cool.
Yeah.
Kind of like, is there a name for that? Kind of like, you know, this game, Mega Man, DuckTales, where you could pick which stage you want to play. We should try to coin that phrase right here, right now. Kind of like there's the Metroidvania
level pickervania. I'm not good at naming
Gunstar
stuff.
Gun tails. Listeners, you tell us what that genre should be. Oh, we'll coin it here.
Duck Star Heroes.
Done. That's it. Listeners, put in your votes. It's a Duck Stars hero like. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. The criteria for that will be you have to pick. Yeah, you just have to pick any level from start. That's it. That's all you have to do. And maybe have power ups along the ways. I don't know.
Wait, it doesn't include Mega Man in there. Mega Duck Star Hero. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Other than, yeah, released in 93. So there you go. Listeners, tell us what you think about that one. And let's talk about your game.
Yeah, I decided to pick Rampage just because I was in the mood for something really simple to play. I was a little bit worried that this would come across as a very tacky decision.
It still might. Week. There's still time.
There's still time. But right now it looks like it's not going to be... A tacky decision. I don't see any any evidence of it just yet.
Yeah, good.
But I played the NES version. I usually play the one of the arcade versions because there's when I say one of the arcade versions, I mean I have like multiple collections with Rampage included, so I can play it on like GameCube, PlayStation 2, other stuff. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I decided I was going to do the NES version because I have the cartridge and figured why not. So I think everyone knows the premise. You know, you're these three movie monsters, although in the NES version, there's only two of them. And you're smashing buildings while the entire military is attacking you. And, you know, you eat people or food you find in the buildings to regain health. You can eat your player two when they, because after you die, you shrink back down to a human. You can eat the human if you want to, you know, mess with your friend that you're playing with. Mm-hmm. It's really just you are steadily losing life the entire time, though, because there's almost no way to dodge any of the attacks.
Because you're so big, yeah.
Yeah, you're huge, and there's just four or five guys shooting at you at any given time. So you're just constantly taking small amounts of damage. There are things that do huge amounts of damage, like a tank or the helicopter, that obviously you want to avoid more. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. This is a game I play with my youngest kid a couple times a year. We mm-hmm. usually fire the arcade version and play because it is kind of just a fun game you don't have to think about at all.
Yeah, keep popping in quarters.
Yeah. Yeah, the arcade version, I mean, obviously is designed to just take as many quarters as you possibly can, right? It's like Gauntlet, you know, you're just constantly losing health, but you can purchase more life. Or in this case, more lives, plural. And there's like hundreds of stages. You know, I like that it takes you through different cities. I mean, many of the cities that you're going to don't have skyscrapers. You know, I'm sure you caught on that because it's like, all right, now we're in Peoria, Illinois. And I'm like, I don't know what the tallest building in Peoria is, but it's not this tall.
Yeah, that's funny.
Actually, I don't know. How big is Peoria? Pick a city by you. They do like Kalamazoo, Michigan, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, there might be one. Not a skyscraper, but getting there. Maybe one in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, there could be like a hotel in Peoria that's kind of tall. But I don't think it's a particularly big. It, like Peoria, I think, is technically the second biggest city in Illinois, but it's a really huge drop off. You know, as states go, there's, you know, California, I don't know what the biggest city is, but there's not a big drop off from the biggest city to second biggest. So I guess it would be LA, right? But like LA to San Francisco is not that is a big drop off, but not like Chicago, Peoria. Or yeah, Detroit, yeah. And not Detroit. I don't know. What's the second biggest city in Michigan?
I would go with Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking through all the cities. Like Kodiak, Alaska. Nome, Alaska. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never been there.
Wait, is that the second biggest city in Alaska?
No, I'm just looking at the list of cities Rampage. Well, Rampage World Tour.
Okay. So Kodiak, Alaska, probably not a lot of skyscrapers, would be my guess.
No, no. Homewood, Illinois.
Homewood, Illinois? I've never even heard of that. Really?
These got to be made up, because these are the final three levels. Homewood, Illinois. Hinckley, Illinois.
No, Homewood's a real... That is a real village in the south suburbs of Chicago. I've never even heard of it.
And Toxic Hollow, Illinois.
What was it?
Toxic Howell.
Toxic Howell?
Yes.
That can't be real.
The first thing that comes up is Rampage World Tour on Google, so it's not real.
Okay.
That's the final. That's level 90.
Okay. Well, that's not a real town. But Homewood, Illinois is, in fact, a real town, but it definitely doesn't have skyscrapers. It looks like an older blue-collar town. Oh, well, here you go. Notable people from Homewood, Illinois. Brian Collin, video game designer, Rampage.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a fun game, and there's a lot of different versions. Some of them are, like, Master System version, I think, is kind of bad. I know there's a 2600 version. That can't be very good. Okay, yeah, let me hear about the Master System version.
Well... It's not as good as it should be. They could have done a lot better. When I played it, I was still setting up my Mega SG that's supposed to be able to play those, and it had no sound, so I can't speak to that.
Oh.
It's just a setting I need to fix.
See, this is, when I talk about the Master System version, the thing, it's not as good as it could be. The music in that game is absolutely, like, ear-splitting.
Is it just the FM synth or something?
I don't know what it is, but it's like nails on chalkboard. I'm so disappointed you didn't play it with sound on.
I will later. I'm still setting this up, the rest of it up tonight. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad game on mute. But,
yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of hard to get onto the buildings in it. Where in the Nintendo or arcade ports, you can just kind of walk up to the building and push up and you're good. So definitely don't recommend the Master System port. I have not played the 2600 port, but I would like to.
Yeah, I've played it in the distant past. And was definitely not a big fan. Going with the Master System version, if everything is not moving, looks a lot better than the NES version.
Yeah. I feel like the NES version though has a bit more detail. The Master System version seemed to have more solid colors, or am I just remembering it wrong?
I think you might have it backwards. The Master System version, I think like the monsters look better, and you get all three monsters. Like the NES version, mm-hmm. you only get two of them. Mm. There's also a 7800 version, which I own a physical copy of as well. I found it at a yard sale. And it's not bad. I mean, it's good for the 7800 hardware.
How does it compare to the NES version?
Not close. Not really close.
Really? Because
yeah,
the 7800 is capable of NES graphics. I mean,
that allegedly,
theoretically.
Yeah. theoretically. Yeah, I have a gallery on my website about Atari 7800 versus NES, and it starts with the premise of I've just being in the retro gaming community. I've heard so many people claim that the 7800 is like the same or better hardware than the NES. So it's just a gallery comparing games developed on both systems. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it's a blowout. There are a few 7800 games that play better, that are just like more fun than the NES equivalent, but none that I would say look better.
And none sound better. The 7800 has 2600 sound.
Yeah. Yeah. None of them sound better for sure. That said, I like the 7800 for arcade ports. I will, you know, go to my grave saying that the 7800 is a really good system for arcade ports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's it.
So yeah, there you go. That's it. That's all I gotta say about Rampage. Fun game. So what are we gonna do next?
I was watching on Halloween Fantasia for the Night on Bald Mountain scene and the Sorcerer's Apprentice scene with my son. And so that reminded me of the Sorcerer's Apprentice 2600 game. So that is what I've actually already been playing it a lot this week. So there you go.
Okay.
Is there one on Genesis 2?
There is a game called Fantasia on the Genesis.
Okay.
That is not...
I'll count that as well.
Okay, good. So I'll stick with the theme. Let's just make it a Mickey Mouse week. I will do Castle of Illusion.
Love it.
Cool. Which is on Genesis Master System. And I know there's an Android port that is like a new game. It's not. I mean, it's the original game, but with new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a Steam thing. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anything called Castle of Illusion is fine.
I think there's an update on PS4 or PS3 or something, mm-hmm. too.
It's probably the same thing I'm thinking of that's on Android.
Cool, cool. All right. Well, if anyone plays any of those games, has any retro game news, projects, you just want to talk about retro games, email us at email@retrogameclub.net. That is email@retrogameclub.net. We also have Facebook, facebook.retrogameclub.net, and Twitter, @RGCpodcast. And we have a few emails and social media feedback this week.
Yeah, I'll get the first one here from Majors talking about JB Harold. He mentions getting it on clearance because it was in a double jewel case and maybe the store selling it thought I was missing a disc. And this is weird because my JB Harold is a single jewel case. So... maybe this is the Japanese version. There are a lot of PC Engine games where like the Japanese version is in a double jewel case because they have a really huge manual. Like Sherlock Holmes is a double jewel case in Japan, but not the US. I don't know. It's a random observation I've had. And he mentioned that the Japanese release has English, and that's true. If you look at the disc, if you actually like look at the like rip the disc, there's two full copies of the game on the CD. So I think they bundle both the US and Japanese versions on the same CD. But anyhow, he says he likes it a lot. He says it's better than Sherlock Holmes, just because they don't try and push the limits of the hardware. And he also likes the music and sort of the slideshow visuals, blah. And just sort of mentions that at the same store, he... bought a Genesis AV cable because it was marked defective because it was missing one of the stereo channels. But as he noted, that's actually correct for the Genesis at the time. The Genesis does actually, I think the very, very first Genesis supports split AV, but the later versions don't. Mm. General confusion over TurboGrafx PC Engine setup. And yes, he says even, you know, he, who's very, very active in the community, sometimes has to, sometimes gets mixed up on some of the weird oddball setups people have for PC Engine, but it's nothing compared to the Microsoft Xbox naming chaos.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the new Xbox is called. Halt and Catch Fire series. Did we talk about that?
Yep. I loved it. You never watched it. I've never seen that. I recommend it.
Still blocked out. Yeah, Majors also really recommends it. He said the show deals with 80s to 90s computer tech history. and it will still be good a year from now. So what service is that on?
That is on AMC.
Oh. So,
cable, on demand, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't have on demand. So it's not on Netflix or Amazon Prime?
You know what? I think it's on Netflix now. I think it did, at least for a while. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it's on Netflix, then I can attempt to watch
it. I guarantee you'll like it.
Okay. Yeah, and this is the time of year when we're pretty much, you know, we're about to start watching horrible Hallmark Christmas movies. There is one about game development. So do you watch the Hallmark Christmas movies? Your wife does not know, like, multiple people who write these things, though, right?
No, but she does love them.
Okay. So that's part, like I've mentioned before that we always watch a lot of these. My wife knows some of the writers. And there's one this year about, like, game developers.
Oh, man.
It's a new one. They make, like, 50 new movies a year. I don't know what it's called.
I know. You'll have to let
And they
me
all
know.
Blend together. You can't really tell if you've been watching the same one the entire time or if it changed. you also recommend Silicon Valley, which I've had many people recommend to me as well. I will probably eventually
it
watch it.
It is really good, yeah. It is really good.
He's also pretty psyched about the Analog Duo. I'll just summarize it as that. Thinks it's a good price and good case design. As for last episode's games, Dracula X. Yeah, top-notch audio and visual. And very happy that it's on the TG-16 Mini and the PSP so more people can play it and not have to import the $200 CD from Japan. Fester's Quest, he did not get to try it, but remembers it has some crazy password system. Oh, no, it has no password system. That's the problem. It's a big game with no password system.
Yeah.
I guess on something called social media, we asked about Sega's next mini and if we'd ever visited Galloping Ghosts. He's been to Galloping Ghosts. He thinks the Master System mini would be fun, but it doesn't make a lot of sense going backwards. So it seems like Dreamcast mini is more likely, which I agree with. And I agree, like I said on that episode, they will make a Dreamcast mini, but it will be playing the Android version of Dreamcast games. It'd be Dreamcast games already ported to Android. I'm willing to bet money on that. And Master System Mini, I just don't think the system's mainstream enough. You know, I just you know, when you talk to a lot of retro gamers, it seems like a mainstream system everybody has. Everybody has a Master System. But most people, you know, if you survey people on the street, they don't know what that is. Not enough to sell the system. But on the flip side, TurboGrafx, same deal. It got a mini. So who knows?
It sold very well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Master System has some of the same problems where some of the games that you probably want for it are third-party games. I mean, obviously people want Phantasy Star. At least they want the first Alex Kidd game. But some of the other titles you'd want are going to be licensed.
ALF, yeah.
Yeah, like ALF. Yeah, specifically ALF. no, but like East. If you want to get East, that's a third-party license. You got to clear there's just a lot of arcade games on there too. A lot of the arcade games happen to be Sega games, but not all of them.
Yeah, like Paperboy and stuff like that too.
Yeah. Yeah, if you think of like best of Master System games, you know, definitely Sega made the bulk of that list, but there are a few. Well, like if you want to get Ultima 4 on there, it had kind of a good version of Ultima 4. It has a pretty good version of King's Quest. A game that's it's based on King's Quest 1. It's not I think the way you solve it is the same as the PC version, but like some of the scenes are in a different perspective. You know, the graphics are a little different. But it's a pretty
I'll
it's
have to look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty I mean, say if we ever talk about King's Quest, that's the version of King's Quest I'm most likely to play. You know, less typing. So, yeah, there you go.
All right. And Eric from the Pacific Northwest writes in, do you have a genre game that you don't like? He was thinking of maybe party games. He's been catching up on the last shows. And he also mentions Halt and Catch Fire. And he lost interest after the first season. It gets a little drama-y in season two, but season four, the last season, I think is by far the best. Like season one and four are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think the middle seasons aren't bad. And then he also recommends Mr. Robot, which I love the first season and dropped off after that. I should get back into that. You ever watch that one? It's on USA.
No. No, the reality is I don't watch a lot of TV. If I have free time in the evening, I'm pretty much going to use it to play a video game. If my wife is not working, we might watch a show together. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be probably more something she's into than I'm into most of the time, but not always. It depends. Mm-hmm. There are some shows, like we watch The Mandalorian together. We watch Stranger Things, that kind of stuff we can agree on. Mm-hmm. If X-Files was still a show, we could agree on that. But I can't imagine her wanting to watch Mr. Robot.
No. Well, I don't know. She might like that one. And he also asked if we would consider trying to get Ken Williams on the show. Yeah.
did you hear the Retro Hour interview with him? It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah. And I think recently he was on Retronauts as well. He's been on a few things recently because of his new book.
Yeah. His the book that he wrote during quarantine. That's what I was listening to on Halloween while I was raking leaves. Mm. I'm like, I got to find something that I can
interview.
Yeah. Something I can listen to for like an hour. Like trick or treating is like 3 hours in our neighborhood. So I have to like, do I have 3 hours of podcasts I can have on while I'm out here? So I listened to that and one other. And I thought it was very interesting how he's really not a gamer.
No, he's just a programmer. He's been retired a long time.
Yeah. I'm hoping he got pretty good payday when he sold his.
I think so. They pretty much got on a sailboat and have been going around the world.
Yeah, not bad.
And then Nate writes in with the social media questions. I think these are all from social media, but favorite genres, he loves platformers and shmups, and least favorites are his tactical games like Advance Wars and XCOM. He's never been great at them. And, so thank you, Majors, Nate, and Eric, for those emails. We have, some social media responses.
Yeah. Like, for least favorite game genres, people seem to gravitate towards least favorite. So someone says favorite RPG. Least favorite, work simulations, like farming or air traffic control. I didn't realize that was a game. Raising animals, etc. I agree. I'm sort of interested, like, if there was a long-distance driving game, I think I could maybe get into that, mostly because it's relaxing and scenic. Like, if there was a game where it was, like, actually looked like the places you're driving through, that would be pretty neat.
Yeah.
But, like, a long-distance trucking game otherwise, where, like, you're worried about, like, gas and tire wear and stuff, like, I don't want to do any of that. Critical Failure. Least favorite is story-based first-person walking simulators. Okay. So, like, Death Stranding? Is that what he's talking about?
Maybe. Or Life is Strange, I guess. Maybe.
Okay. And then he has a link to a contest where indie developers were supposed to make games from genres they hated, but unfortunately everything ended up being a parody. And there's a caution that the link might not be safe for work. based on some of the games that are developed. And then someone else says, favorite are Western RPGs like The Witcher, Fallout, and Baldur's Gate. And also action games and first-person shooters. Yeah. Yeah, Western RPGs, of course, are very different than JRPGs in general.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out really well, other times not as big of a fan. I did order, speaking of things I ordered in the past week or two, Baldur's Gate was like a Amazon Prime Day sale on Switch. So I have Baldur's Gate on Switch now for, I guess, the 2021 quarantine. I don't know. I had something to do.
Yeah.
I need some long game to play. Like when I'm done with the, I guess after Trails of Cold Steel 4 and East 9, maybe I can do Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, I think that about does it.
Yeah. So again, email at retrogameclub.net if you want to chime in. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.